Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Margaret Atwood, justly famous for her inventive and often dark novels, including Oryx and Crake, The Handmaid's Tale, and The Blind Assassin, has a new book on the shelves. It's called The Year of the Flood, and it's about the end of the world and two of the women who survive it. We're joined now by Margaret Atwood from Washington, D.C. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is actually one of several novels you've written about an apocalyptic event. And I'm wondering, what is it about these kind of world-ending events that attract you as a fiction writer?
Well, first of all, they're not world-ending events. Usually when we hear that word, apocalypse, we think everything gets destroyed. But none of my books are like that, and neither is this one. It's only people.
end of the world as we know it. Right?
The end of the world as we know it. Yeah, for sure, it's that. But, you know, we're living through that sort of every day, aren't we?
And that's what I was wondering as I read this book, and in this particular one, it's called The Year of the Flood, and it looks like it's a flood of a disease that comes through and wipes nearly everyone out, except for these two women who happen to have ended up in secure areas, and they just, by chance, survived this illness.
And one of them does it intentionally. She locks herself into the spa where she's been working, which I think would be a good place to survive a pandemic because there's lots of towels and the facial products are edible. And the other one, it is by chance. She's been working at a high-end sex club and she's in the quarantine zone because she got bitten by a carried-away client. And they're making sure that she's germ-free. So, yes, these are the two we follow, but of course they're not the only ones who are still alive on the planet.
Right, but we don't know that when we first...
We don't know that. They don't know it, and we don't know it.
Yeah, we discover it as they discover it, which is kind of an exciting part of the novel. It features a very charismatic leader, and we only know him as Adam One. And his religion is it melds science with spirituality. They're known as the God's Gardeners, and they're really
coming your way soon.
The God's Gardeners, and you know
you
that
betcha.
that was my question. You know, this is the first time when I've read one of your novels when I've really wondered how much of this is your own personal philosophy. And let me give you an example. I'm looking earlier at one of my dog-eared pages where you're talking about the place. Adam One is talking about the place in the Bible where it says, "And the fear of you, that is man, and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and every fowl of the air, and into your hand are they delivered." And Adam One says, this is not God telling man he has a right to destroy all the animals, as some claim. Instead, it is a warning to God's beloved creatures, beware of man and of his evil heart.
Well, if you read the whole passage just before the covenant made with, in fact, all flesh, not just with man, right before that, man has said the imagination of God has said the imagination of man is evil unto his youth. I mean, he's not saying man is a great thing in this passage. So maybe Adam One is right.
And that's my question. It sounds like Margaret Atwood's your thoughts, your processing of religion coming through in some of these passages.
Not particularly. It's a close reading of the text, of the kind that Adam One would do, and in fact of the kind that people reading those texts have been doing for thousands of years. So it's nothing new there. It's just their reading, the reading that they would have.
Okay, here, Adam's, their followers, they don't just pledge devotion to the earth. They also sing about it. And you have, in front of a lot of these chapters, written hymns. And those hymns on a separate CD have been set to music. The CD is called Hymns of God's Gardeners. Here's one of the songs called Oh, Let Me Not Be Proud.
Oh, let me not be proud, dear Lord, nor rank myself above the other primates through whose genes we grew into your love.
In the acknowledgments part of the book, I read that you said anyone who wishes to use any of these hymns for amateur devotional or environmental purposes is more than welcome to do so. That sounds
absolutely.
Yeah. Why put that in there?
Because be my guest. They're hymns, and hymns are public property, in a way, And they are sung at community gatherings. And in fact, Bishop Richard Holloway, who played Adam One at our Edinburgh Dog and Pony Show, said, "Can I use some of these at my Harvest Festival?" I said, "Help yourself."
That's not you encouraging people to use them. That's just saying go ahead.
No, just saying go ahead.
Okay, we got...
If you want to.
We saw the return of Oryx and Crake. They were the subject of an earlier novel. They were the stars of their own novel. Here they're kind of very minor characters in The Year of the Flood. And is this the first time you've had characters revisit from a previous novel?
It actually is the first time I've had characters revisit, but I've had characters revisit in short stories, but not in a novel.
Why'd you make that decision here?
Do you have an iPhone?
I do.
Oh, goody. So when you press the map thing, you get a little piece of map, and then you get a big bunch of uncolored in grid.
Right.
And you can make that grid color in by moving your finger around.
Right.
So Oryx and Crake was one part of the map, and the rest was all blank. So in this novel, I went to another part of the map and colored it in.
And they happened to bleed over from their part of the map.
That's right. The other way of thinking of it is, it's like the meanwhile chapter. You know when you're reading the meanwhile chapter that is taking place at the same time as the one you just read, and that sooner or later those people in the meanwhile chapter are going to meet up with the other people. And so it happens with Oryx and Crake and Year of the Flood.
The Year of the Flood, it's a really, really gripping read. That it's very difficult to put it down. But
I love you.
It's, you know, a lot of it is about science gone very, very wrong and attempts, you know, the company that becomes kind of like the evil big brother sort of company. It was actually started out as a security company, people trying to keep themselves more safe and get a handle on crime.
It started out as a corporation security company.
Right.
So not and then people, it began corporations.
We do have to make that distinction. But, you know, with The Handmaid's Tale and The Year of the Flood, it feels to me like we have these kind of, in a certain way, I know you'd object to apocalyptic, but they're almost like apocalyptic bookends here. We have got The Handmaid's Tale. That's the end of the world as we know it, which is really the end of benevolent humanity.
It's the end of democracy.
Right. And in The Year of the
Flood... They're both the end of democracy, but in different ways.
But The Year of the Flood feels like the end of the natural world and the end of kind of the fungus, which is humans, upon it. Which of these visions of the future do you think is more dire? Which of these books give us more hope?
Well, no. The mere fact that there are people left standing at the end is pretty hopeful. I mean, it's not like Hamlet, in which just about everybody's dead. Which is more hopeful? Maybe you could say which is more hopeless.
Well, which one is?
I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure. It's in The Handmaid's Tale, it's mostly just the United States that has gone that way, so you can't escape to other countries. In fact, England being England, of course, has set up an association to help rescued people from the Republic of Gilead.
And unfortunately, in The Year of the Flood,
so
you can't go
limited.
Anywhere. Right.
And we know at the end of The Handmaid's Tale that it didn't last because we have some academics discussing it far into the future.
Right. Margaret Atwood is the best-selling author of The Blind Assassin, The Handmaid's Tale, and her new book is called The Year of the Flood.